Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Minding my own business today, and I began to recall different miracles that I've seen in church, and many of them here. Not only when guests are here, but when I've been preaching and when others have been preaching and ministering, miracles are normal.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the amen. Thank you. Can I get a second amen? Wow, that was good. Miracles are normal. Miracles are normal. Say miracles are normal. God's a healer. God heals. God's a miracle worker. Say God heals. Absolutely. God heals. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And many of the scriptures I'm going to share with you tonight, you might have heard before. But if you'll press them down into your ears and you get them deep into the soil of your heart and you begin to meditate on them, it will release faith. And you know what's fascinating to me that I've found? I've been on this nutrition thing without going all into that. It wasn't so easy at first. However, I listened to different podcasts. I connected with different people that were really having victory in the area that I wanted victory, and they were not believers. In fact, they would say things that were, you know, sometimes offensive. I mean, clearly not believers. So leading people in what I was attempting to do, they're not believers. And so occasionally they'll say something that's like, But what I was getting from them was encouragement to follow through on this way of eating that I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. So I began to do that, and I'm locked in. My faith is sky high. You couldn't get me. It's not a diet. Something happened. Something shifted. Now, 6 months from now, we'll see where we're at. Go through the holidays. My wife says she's rebuking me for my lack of faith, but when she throws down those cream cheese foldovers, Jesus help me in the Christmas. I bind them now. Just don't make them anymore. Make them with almond flour or something. I don't know. Jesus, help me. If you'll get in the Word, and you read the Word, and you speak the Word, and you declare the Word, it will change your life. When you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. When you start believing things, it starts coming out of your mouth, and it releases power. It releases power. We had a tremendous week last week with our guest evangelist, Jonathan Shuttlesworth. That guy jumped on a plane, took off, took Saturday to do whatever he did on Saturday. Sunday, he had his service, got on another plane, flew to St. Louis, and he's in meetings all this week. I mean, that's incredible. Does anybody understand the demand that that requires? He's being moved with the supernatural fire and flow of the Holy Ghost to touch America. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read from the New King James. Generally, we stand for the reading of God's word, but you stand up on the inside because I'm not sure where we're going. You don't have notes, and I have a few, and we're just going to let God be God. 1 Corinthians 12. Are you ready? The manifestation of the Spirit. I guess I'll stop right there. 12 verse 7. When the sun comes over the horizon in the winter, when the sun rises, I mean, we have mostly daylight now. When the sun rises, it has manifested. So when the Holy Spirit shows up, can we say it that way? When the Spirit shows up, when the Spirit reveals himself, when the Spirit moves, when the Spirit comes over the horizon, when the Spirit manifests. You pray for a move of God. When you have a move of God, this is what happens. A move of God is shown by the manifestation of the rays of the Spirit of God, the sunshine of heaven, if you will, the Holy Spirit. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation, the shining of the Spirit, the showing of the Spirit is for God's profit within us, for God's goodness to be released to us, for everyone. Everybody say it's for everyone. The one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith. by the same Spirit. Evangelist Shuttlesworth was preaching that gift of faith message. I don't, what was that? Was that Thursday night? My God, I've been in church 30 years, and I mean, it's hard to say, well, that was the best message, but I mean, that's like a top five on the gift of faith. And it's one thing to hear a message from somebody on the gift of faith, and it's the word, and it's powerful. It's quite another thing to not only hear a message on the gift of faith, and it's powerful, but to see the fruit, to see the manifested fruit in somebody's life. So not only are they speaking it, not only are they preaching it, not only are they teach it, you can see it. Now, I've known him for over 10 years, and I've watched an exponential momentum of faith. And so you have to say, come on, if somebody is teaching on finances, but they're broke, you know, would you bring your investment to somebody who doesn't invest very well? I got another no from Pastor Gill. Would you entrust somebody who doesn't seem to have the fruit? Would you go to a doctor that kills people? Would you go to certain hospitals that have a bad record? Why not? Because you don't want to receive whatever they're throwing down. There's too much, right? So when you see someone's life, we're pastors, ministers, leaders, evangelists, Christians are supposed to be Christ-like and are supposed to model actually what victory looks like. My life, my marriage is, we're in a fishbowl, to quote Pastor Chris Davis. And we should be. Everyone sees your life. They see the way that you live. So it's very important to get under preaching and teaching that you see the manifestation. Now, you can preach and teach yourself into the miracle power of God in whatever area. But these verses are very familiar to us. And they should be. Another faith by the same Spirit, verse 9. To another, gifts of healing. What kind? What kind of gifts of healing? There's plural. Gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. Go to Acts chapter 3. Let me read one more verse. But to one and the same Spirit, verse 11, works all these things, distributing to each one as he wills. Go to Acts chapter 3 and let me pick on verse 11. I have heard people say, well, the Spirit operates sovereignly as he wills. I would say that that's true, but also the Spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And what I've found over the years of pastoring and leading this church and in other congregations, that the Holy Spirit will move as much as I'll let him move. Let me throw that through one more time. All you life group leaders, all you team leaders, the Holy Spirit will use you to the degree that you allow him to be used. And so oftentimes we just need to step back. He wants to touch people, wants to heal people. He wants to move in power in your home, in your family, around your kitchen table. You need to learn to walk in miracles. Miracles are not just for the guest guy that runs through. You know, I'm encouraged tonight that there's hundreds of people on a Wednesday night and there's no Shuttlesworth. I mean, God bless Jonathan Shuttlesworth, but I mean, it's fantastic that you're turned out to say, you know something? I want whatever God has for me. I want that. Yes. Oh, I want to go deep in God. Oh, I want to be used by God. Oh, I want more from God. I want to see that thing broken off my brother, broken off my sister. Lord, you did it. I stand receiving faith, receiving healing, receiving miracle power. God wants to use me. Say it. God wants to. He does. Acts chapter 3. We were talking in the back room over this last week about amazing things we've seen. I think one of the greatest miracles I've seen is, well, my own life, honestly, just I'm a miracle. And I'll tell you that when you give your life to Jesus, and if you haven't done it, I'd implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. You give your life to Jesus, being born again is the greatest miracle that there is. And what all the therapy sessions, what all the different challenges, without going into details, I was a hopeless case, but God, but God, but God. Don't you give up on people that seem like they're just gone. It's too late. It's too far gone. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter what the bondage is, the challenge is. God's able to break in and set them free. He's able to set you free tonight. He's able to heal you tonight. He has no shortage of power. Power belongs to God, but he uses people. And so oftentimes we just sovereignly want God to come. Oh, God, you know my heart. You can come whenever you want to. There's a press that comes, a hunger and a thirst. Acts 3. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. It's 3 p.m., 3 in the afternoon. You see the miracle that's about to happen. You can't dismiss that from going to prayer. I believe that prayer is key to releasing power. And a certain man, we don't know his name, lame from his mother's womb, is carried, whom they laid daily at the gate, the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Let me stop. I've preached a whole message on it, the Beautiful Gate, calling it the right time gate, because the word beautiful there is one of the words in the Greek, the Koine Greek, for right, the right time. It's a word for time, beautiful. So in other words, when something happens just exactly when it needs to happen, it's beautiful. The timing's beautiful. The horaios gate, the Greek word is horaios. There's chronos and kairos. So horaios right here. And that's quite a thing, because it was called the beautiful gate long before the lame guy got there. But it's the lame guy that has the beautiful, the horaios, the perfect timing of the miracle of God, because Jesus walked by. And apparently it wasn't the right time, because Jesus would have healed him. Why didn't Jesus heal him? We later find out he's 40 years old. He's brought there daily. Why didn't Jesus heal him? I have no idea. But he walked through that gate. We know. We stood there when we were in Israel. We stood at the gate called Beautiful. It was right there. You can go to the Horaios gate right now. He was right there. Thousands of people get saved as a result of this miracle. Come on, God's got a perfect timing. What wasn't his time became his time at the wedding of Canaan. I remember somebody saying to me, you know, when is it going to happen? When is the breakthrough? When are we going to finish the building? When is the right? When? And the disciples asked that of Jesus. How many of you believe in God for some things to happen? Eric, stand up on your feet. I see the word of the Lord, brother. Stand. As you connect some things, there's some unity that has to take place. As you come into agreement, there'll be a tremendous release of God's power for you and your family. As I looked over you, I saw agreement. And if there's a lack of agreement, then there's a lack of power. God is bringing you to a place of agreement. And as I saw the word agreement over your head, I saw God release power and favor. In your heart is more than fixing vehicles. Not that that's bad. You're the best mechanic we know. By the way, my radiator is totally a miracle. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, show him what that means. I saw it. I saw agreement. And everything that needs to change, change. In Jesus' name. Amen. I know you love God, serving God. When is it going to happen? When? The disciples asked Jesus, he said, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom? I love his answer. Does anybody know his answer? What does the Lord say? At this time, you're going to restore the kingdom, Jesus. And what does Jesus say? What a great answer. It's not for you to know the times and seasons, but you'll be endued with power. You know how to solve the problem of what you're waiting for your husband, waiting for your wife, waiting for your kids, waiting for grandkids, waiting for breakthrough, waiting for the miracle idea. It's not for you to know the times and seasons, but you'll be endued with power. I am convinced that if you'll go after God like a desperate, thirsty man, a desperately thirsty woman, there's only men and women. You go after God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. You get in the word and you pray and you make your life braided. Those who wait on the Lord, the Hebrew word is to be braided with him. Does anybody have braids here tonight? Anybody got braids going on? All right, you gotta, it took you a little bit. You had to braid your hair. A threefold cord is not easily broken. If you'll be braided up with God, you don't really think about, oh, when's it going to happen? You get lost in his presence. You hunger for him, and he touches you, and there's a release of miracle power. It's not for you to know the times and seasons. And yet at the same time, you see at the wedding of Canaan, you see he's going to make, they run out of wine, and Mary says, Jesus, he says, woman, which is a respectful answer, not like disrespectful. Girl, it's not like that. It's honoring. It's not my time. And she says to the servants, do whatever he says. And when they wait on him, what wasn't his time becomes his time because people are waiting and pressing and leaning and believing and looking with expectancy. And you know, those who brought the barrels, they put themselves in tremendous difficulty coming before them with water, pretending it's wine. It doesn't turn into wine until they've ladled that thing out, I don't think. The gate called Beautiful back in Acts 3 to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, and doing what? And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. And he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Now, I believe he's expecting to receive money. I mean, he's panhandling. He's asking for alms. He was an official beggar, 40 years, the same spot. Jesus walked by him, but now, at the hour of prayer, Peter and John come. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. You know, people whose legs don't work, they're not really thinking about money. They need their legs to work. Can I get it? Amen. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It's this command of faith. Fascinating, the command. You know people are walking with the Lord and in the Word when you see them pray with authority. If you don't pray with authority, then you have to question, where are you at with God? When you really start to walk with him and learn of him and know his word, you'll speak his word. He speaks his word. Jane Hammond was here at our prophetic conference last February. She said it's voice a season of voice-activated doors. And doors will open in Jesus' name as you open your mouth and you declare it. You've got to declare things. Be healed. Be free. Be loosed. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up. It's a command. And then he takes him by the right hand. A number of months ago, I was in Jordan Hodges' church. I think. I was a guest speaker there. No, it was Gary Brothers' church. And it was, and he'll be with us in July. The power of God was being poured out in that service. And people were getting healed. People were getting touched. And when that happens for me, and the reason I share that, now the Holy Spirit uses people differently, but for me, what happens in a miracle service is many times it's almost like the Lord removes my, it's not like I'm, it's my conscious awareness of myself is completely gone, and I feel like the Holy Spirit puts me on like a glove. Now, we're filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes on you, but it's like I become another man. Something happens. It's not like a big thought process of what I'm doing. Look, I'm going to bring attention to it. You might find it to be funny. Pastor Karen, hang on. So I wanted to wear white pants tonight, but they're too tight, frankly. And don't stare too hard. And had I realized that I have another pair, I thought those were these pair. These are the more skinny jean type pair. I look a little bit like an elf in white pants. So at any rate, I began to be subconscious about my pants. Right. So I attempted to adjust them, and without trying to pay attention to that, I'm in the back, and I started laughing. I thought, we're going to have a miracle service. I'm thinking about my white pants. And I instantly remembered Dr. Joseph Martin, who is a very dear friend of ours. Don't think he's in ministry anymore. He came to the island of Kauai, and we had had a week of meetings of unbelievable miracles, crazy words of knowledge, super accurate prophecy. I mean, just next, you were there, Pastor Vince. Well, he had run out of his Aloha shirts, so he wanted me to, can you get these clean? Well, Pastor Karen was busy, and I don't ever go find the cleaners, and you can't get them back in one day anyway, so I know how to do laundry, pretty much. So I washed his Aloha shirts, right? And I pulled them out, and man, they really didn't look good. And so I ironed them, you know, and they looked better. They looked better, but they did not look like they looked before I put them in. So I bring him his Aloha shirts. And I noticed some of the buttons are a little bit looser than when I put them in. You know, maybe they were, you know, cheaper shirts. I don't know. Coconut buttons. Anybody know what a Aloha shirt is? So in LA, there's no green room. There's like an office that's on the other side of the parking lot. And the green room, basically, where if you're going to get changed, is the men's room. So we would have a security guy stand in front of the men's bathroom, and then the guest speaker takes over the bathroom. I have not told this story in quite a while. And so I go with him, and he's praying. Thank you for, and he squints. He does this thing. Thank you for cleaning my shirts. I'm like, yeah, no problem. He's like, I think I'm going to wear the black one. I'm like, praise God. He's like, okay. And he's putting it on, and it seems just a little bit smaller. And he's buttoning his button, and the top two buttons just pop. They're gone. So it has a V-neck all the way to here. And I will never forget what he said. He's like, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. And he looks at me. I said, sorry. Oh, God. Oh, the last thing I need right now is to be self-conscious. The last thing. Oh, God. And he says, is it okay? I said, yeah, it's awesome. He's like, oh, God. And we just went out. And when he went out, the power of God hit him. And he flipped. He had the most, I mean, it was like, what in God's name are you doing? We should have gotten we should have pinned it or something. So as I'm adjusting my white pants, I started thinking, you know something? It doesn't matter what the mailman looks like. What matters is that the faith is released and miracles, the kingdom of God is released. God still does miracles, but he wants to use you to do it. The Lord spoke to me and said this, I am releasing my power through my people. I want you to call them to it, awaken them to that which is on the inside of you. Come on, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What do you have? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. Come on, you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You can see miracle power no matter what your pants look like. No matter what your shirt looks like. I had a dream years ago, and I'm at this conference, and it's like a million people. I mean, you can't see the end of the room. Dr. Morocco's leading the service, and I'm the preacher. And I have my Bible, and I had my notes, and I'm ready to go. And so I'm sitting on the front row, and he's just about ready. And tonight, we have a guest speaker who's no guest. Pastor Daniel Brackett starts talking, and I'm like, I look, and I've got to go to the bathroom. And it's a dream. And so I gave them whatever language that means like delay. So, you know, they go back into worship or whatever. And I get up with my armor bearer. You know what that is? Let's say they're like an usher guy that's helping you. And I go to the back of the room. And the back of the room, like the bathrooms are like 1,000 yards away. So I'm looking sharp. I got a suit. I'm ready to go. There's TV cameras. I head down, I walk all the way to the back with the guy that's with me, and I take a right, and I look, and all of a sudden there's this pocket of, I don't know how to describe it, it's 20 to 30 people that are out under the power of the Spirit. I mean, they're on the ground weeping, crying, laughing. And I thought, whoa, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? I'm like, wow. And I go to attempt to tip through because I have to preach. So I start tipping through, and the power of God hits me from behind and drills me into the floor. Somebody said, God's a gentleman. Yeah, he is. My jacket is pulled up over my head. My tie gets jacked up. My shirt rips out, and I just pile up on the ground, and I can't get up. So I'm pinned on the ground in my dream, on the ground, my face into the floor. I'm like, Lord, don't you know I have to preach? Is that not funny? Don't you know, Lord, I need to preach? And he lets me up, and I look at my outfit, and it's far worse than my white pants. It's my, everything's destroyed, ripped, torn, messed up, totally jacked up. There's no way I'm going on worldwide TV to preach the gospel. Come on, it's a dream. So I'm instantly back in my hotel room, and I'm trying on pants after pants, shirts after shirts. First of all, none of it matches. And then I'm too fat, and the buttons break. You're like, ah! Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got to be careful. If you do that, you can put somebody's eye out. I mean, it's everything I can do so I can get it together so I feel like I'm ready to minister the gospel. And nothing works. And finally, I have something like, it's bad, but it's not that bad. And okay. I'm instantly back at the meeting. I get in. I sit down. Dr. Maronko sees me. He starts introducing me, and immediately I realize my notes are gone. My Bible's gone, and I don't have what I'm supposed to preach. Now, I'm just going to tell you, for those that might rely on notes, that's not good. And so I tell my armor bearer guy, I know where they're at. They're where the Holy Spirit came upon me in the back. They're right there. I dropped him right there. He's like, right on. And he gets up and goes the other direction. I'm like, dude, he's gone. He heads off in another direction. And then I hear, put your hands together for Pastor Daniel Bracken. And I get up. I'm like, no notes, no Bible, no nothing. He shakes my hand. He says, praise the Lord. I'm like, praise God. And as I take the mic, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you can't make this my spirit seeker friendly. You can't make my spirit seeker friendly. You want a move of God. Hallelujah. It doesn't always fit in your little categories. Hallelujah. And I thought, oh, you can't make the Holy Spirit seeker friendly. Yes. I love what Shuttlesworth said to me in the back room. You know what we do? We have a seeker-friendly stuff before the service. Everybody feel welcome and all that. Then we have the power of the Holy Ghost during the service, and we have the seeker-friendly stuff after the service. I think that's a good model. I think that we should just allow God to be God in the middle of the service, and signs and wonders and miracles and the release of his power, passionate preaching, teaching, praying, gifts of the Spirit being manifested. And yeah, we want air conditioning too. Acts 3. Expecting, look at us, he fixed his eyes. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. You came tonight because you're believing that God's going to do something. Amen. You came tonight believing, expecting, expectancy. This is worth writing down. I've said it hundreds of times. Expectancy is the seedbed of miracles. If you'll just lean in, that's a popular thing in church, in kingdom life these days. Lean in. If you'll expect God to do something, expectancy is an aspect of faith. If you sit back on your haunches and fold your hands and expect nothing to happen, that's exactly what you get. But I'm talking about tonight. That tonight, if you lean in, maybe God could receive. Come on, God wants to. I believe he wants to, but many times we've not positioned ourselves. Our faith is not in the place where you could receive something from God. The woman with the issue of blood, so desperate, if she could just touch the hem of his garment. Faith, faith, faith. What are you expecting tonight? So he gave them his full attention to receive something. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have. What do you have? You have the same spirit. He took him by the right hand. I started telling that story at Gary Brothers Church. I became another man. And as I'm moving down, a miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, I come to this lady who's in a wheelchair. And it's not a rented wheelchair from the, you know, the Rexall place or from some pharmacy. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's not like, this is a real wheelchair. You know what I'm, does anybody know the difference? You know, it's not like a racing wheelchair, but it's obviously not a rent-a-chair. So she's been in it. And she rolls forward. It's so loud. And she says, the last time you were here, I'm like, what? She says, I'm like, I can't hear you. What? And she says, I got so irritated, but I wasn't in the flesh. I was still in the spirit. And so I yell at her, do you want to be healed? She said, yes, for God's sake. And I grabbed her and yanked her out of her chair. And you just don't do that. You don't do that unless you're the fire. Don't try to pull people out of wheelchairs unless you already did it. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, I yanked her out of her chair, and she was in shock. I think I pulled her so hard, she came right out like she came out of the chair. When she landed, I said, now walk in Jesus' name. She's all, duh, 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 and she got healed. And she started walking back and forth. The place went bananas. God can do miracles for you. Don't think that it's some guest or, oh, you're Pastor Daniel or Pastor Kirsten. You're a believer. Jesus lives on the inside of you. Sometimes we forget what we have. Thank God for the silver and gold. It's required to get the job done and the vision moving forward. But the power of the Holy Spirit will flow through you, and it's not silver and gold that releases miracles. Connected, all connected to going to prayer, by the way. Rise up. Everybody say, rise up and walk. In the next 3 months, God is going to release miracles for you like you have never seen before. Well, come on, rise up and walk. Take your place on the wall. Stop being mealy-mouthed, half-hearted, whimsical, apologetic Christianity. I don't want to offend anybody. How about offending God by not using what he's given you? How about that? How about not using the same power that raised Jesus from the dead? There's people on methamphetamines, people on fentanyl, people that are just broken all over our community. Marriages that are on the rocks, kids that are cutting themselves, sexual confusion, gender identity issues. We need people who can put God on display with a loving, kind, gracious heart, but bold, zealous. You have the answer to your neighbor's woes. Took him by the right hand, lifted him up immediately. His feet and ankle bones received strength, so he kept leaping. So he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered the temple, by the way, for the first time in his life. Because halt, wither, lame people can't go into the temple. You're not allowed. You're not allowed. If you have wasting skin diseases and disfigurement, or you just weren't allowed in the temple. And so he wasn't allowed in. So now, 40 years being brought there daily, he's allowed to go into the temple for the first time. Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. When God touches you, you might look like that. You might look like you're leaping and praising God. Look at verse 10. Then they knew that it was him who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Go to Acts chapter 5. While you're turning there, we were talking about some of the greatest miracles we've ever seen. And I was in a meeting with Schombach. He's going on to be with the Lord big man. And I had to be 6'5". I don't know how tall he was, this big dude, Earl Schombach. They used to use motor oil in those meetings. No, they would go by $10W40. I'm not kidding. Because it was cheaper back in the day. Instead of using olive oil, they would use motor oil, and they dipped their hands in it. Nobody knew the difference. It was just oil, just paint it. Corn oil was created to put in motors too, but now people use it in their food. Anyway. Where are we? Oh, yeah. And I was an auxiliary usher. Anybody know what that is? We have an usher team. I so appreciate you guys. I was an auxiliary usher. I wasn't an usher. I was an usher when they needed extra ushers. And that means, you know, there's people that are part of that usher team, so grateful. But there was times when you're praying for people and there's so many people, you need more people to help. Ush. And so when that would happen, I would instantly jump in. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Bracken, the life group leader. Yeah, he's, you know, we don't let everybody just jump in. Okay. Why is that? Because we don't know where some people's hands have been. Can I get an amen? And so I'm standing behind this guy. I mean, I remember picking it out. These people start lining up. I was in the back of the cathedral. So they'd already prayed for the front folks and the regular ushers. So I'm in the back. And there's a Filipino man who is so bent. He is bent like this. I mean, like S-turn bent. And he's with his family, and they have this walker thing, and they walk him up. I'm talking cripple. And Earl Schombach comes. I'm like, okay, let's see this. This is good. Come on now. Let's go, Jesus. I'm right behind him. He says, get rid of the walker. And they pull the walker out. And this guy's like this, and he says, wrap your arms around the man of God. So Earl Schombach, being 6'6", or whatever, this gentleman was maybe 5 foot, 4'10", crippled. He comes and he wraps his arms around the man of God, as was directed. Earl Schombach lifts his hands and says, oh God, heal him. And the power of God fell like a column of fire, blew that man off of Earl Schombach, blew me down. The whole family went down. We're all on the ground. And I was very touched by God. I remember standing up. And I looked at this crippled man on the ground, and I watched him just bah, 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 and he straightened out. Right in front of me, he straightened out. And then he stood up. His wife is crying. Everybody's crying. He's no longer 4'10". He's now like 5'6", 5'5". And I was like, oh, my God. I was so encouraged. When you see miracles like that, it changes you. I want you to read the word like you're standing there. When you read God's word, imagine yourself in it. These are real historical events that took place. There's a gate called Beautiful in your life. There's people that are looking at you. If you'll continue to go to prayer and be filled with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and have a boldness to give answer for the faith that lies within you. Why are you so happy? What has God done? It's not about money. Here, give me your hand. I love that. There was a move of God in Marysville, Washington. Anybody know about where Marysville is? A great move of the Spirit of God took place there. A youth move of God. These kids were getting so touched by God. Their theology they were growing in, but they understood the power of God. And they started witnessing like this. I don't know. I can't explain everything, but if you want to feel God, take my hand. And they would, and literally the power of God would come on people and they'd bring them to the youth group, and the youth pastor, Benny Perez, at that time, Benny Perez would lead them to Christ. And I think there was 1,000 youth in Marysville. 1,000. What could God do if we had the hour of prayer, if we were like Peter and John? What could God do if we were awakened to our glorious purpose to release that which is on the inside of us, not the silver and gold, no, but signs and wonders and miracles. Acts 5, verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Verse 14. You see, when God really shows up in your life, really shows up in a church, really shows up in a community, the reputation of the Lord shifts. That church is not for whimsical, half-hearted people that are weak, but literally an army is released, and people start coming to an awareness that God is alive, He's on the throne, and He's able to do anything. He can heal the sick and set the captives free. He can break off addiction in one moment. He can heal your marriage, touch your brother, touch your sister that are thousands of miles away by faith. That God can do anything. Come on, say it. God can do, but He's looking for somebody to move through. He's looking for someone to be a vessel. He's looking for someone who would have a boldness and a zeal and a faith. Would you be that person? Would you challenge yourself? You'll come in direct contact with your insecurities. It'll roar at you. Oh, you were on a fast, but you ate a salad. You love it. You're the enemy who just does everything he can to get you to shut up. He needs to shut it through your bold action. Ignore him. Move forward. Come on, somebody say, move forward. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. There is a connection to the manifestation of the Spirit and the harvest. There's a connection when Jesus is in the house that souls begin to come in. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. God's coming on some of you right now. His power is being released all across this place right now. Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. That's it. More. Verse 15, so that they brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at least a shadow of Peter passing them might fall on some of them. Verse 16, so multitudes gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem and bringing the sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. I want to challenge you to bring the sick, the broken, the tormented, to release God's power here, and do it in the marketplace too. They would bring people. They brought people that are in need. Our community's in need. You might be in need. If you're here and you're in need, you're in the right place. I believe in miracles. Amen. We talked to Ivan Tate. He's having more miracles break out than he ever has, just left and right. He's coming in November. When he got touched at a Catherine Coleman meeting. Anybody ever heard of Catherine Coleman? All of you students of the Word, and you want to feed on miracles? Everybody say, I'm going to feed on miracles. Good. Get I Believe in Miracles by Catherine Coleman and read it. And get it in your spirit that if God did it through this precious lady, Catherine Coleman, she wasn't perfect. She had issues. Been through divorce, had issues. She had challenges, but God used her. I don't know what you've been through. It doesn't mean you're disqualified. Now, there are things that will disqualify you, but you can get restored and you can get healed no matter what the disqualification. There might be consequences to that. But don't point to the excuse that you don't have it or you're not enough or you're not educated enough. You know what's interesting? They're brought before, in Acts 3, they're brought before the religious leaders, and they said, they tried to stop them from preaching. They said, we can't help but testify far, but you judge whether we should obey you or God. We have to obey God. And they said, they took note of the boldness and the zeal, that they were simple, ignorant fishermen. No offense to the fishermen. I'm not saying you're ignorant and simple, but that's who they were. Simple, ignorant fishermen. And a simple, ignorant fisherman, and they took note of their boldness that they had been with Jesus. What's fascinating to me is when you're with people that are bold, when you're in the Word and you're reading it out of an understanding and an empowerment of the Holy Spirit, you'll get boldness. When that zeal of the house of the Lord comes on you, you don't care what anybody thinks. And you don't have to be a jerk about it. Amen. They were very respectful. Would you please judge whether we should obey you rather than God? We're going to be obeying God. Miracles are being released more and more and more. We've had stage four cancers healed here. We've had blind eyes opened here. I have some report, doctor's report. I remember this precious lady. You might even be here. I collect some of these things in my little. Here it is. Where is it? Oh, it's not here. Hallelujah. I got it. I like this. It's just good. I don't always get doctor's reports, but this is a doctor's report. Precious lady come up front, and I guess she had a hole in her eardrum, and she couldn't hear. So she comes up. She's right about here. We're praying for people like we're going to do here in just a moment. And we prayed for her, and nothing happened. How many of you know Jesus prayed more than once? Our perception, nothing happened. You actually don't know what's happening, even though something might not have happened. Maybe something did happen. Obviously, something happened because she got healed. Prayed for her, moved on to the next person. She said, "Dump." Her eyes were big. She said, "Something's happening." And I don't know. I probably saw it from some other evangelist guy. And I stuck my, I didn't lick my finger, but I stuck my finger. I gave her a wet willy. No, I didn't. I didn't lick my finger, but I did stick my finger to ear, which she said she was very shocked when I did it. It was a dry willy. I gave her a dry willy in the name of the Lord. He said, "In Jesus' name be healed." Bang, her hearing was healed, and she went to the doctor and said, "You do no longer have a blown eardrum." The next day she went and got said, "It's totally healed." How is that? It's the same spirit. It's the what? Come on, it's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. What would have happened if I didn't pray a second time? What if she went, "Oh, something's happened." I'm like, "Praise the Lord," and just moved on. It released faith. Faith releases miracles. The manifestation of the Spirit is for every single person here to flow in power and miracles. The next movement is not so much a guest. It's a saints movement. It's an awakening of God's bride to do the work of ministry everywhere you go. You're the only Jesus some people will ever see. You're the only Jesus some people will ever see. Well, if I could just bring Pastor Daniel here. Yeah, I could do the job for sure. But how about you do it? How about you get a word from the Lord? How about you get prayed up? How about you have an encounter with God till you're so filled with faith and power that when you lay hands, bang, something happens. Is that possible? It's absolutely possible. Nearly every evangelist and miracle working evangelist that flows of miracles, nearly every one of them faced insurmountable odds of sickness within their own life and sickness in the lives of their family. And they got a hold of something. They got a hold of something that made them somebody else. You gotta go and get, they used to say this, go and get your own baptism. And they're not talking about praying in tongues. They're not talking about praying in tongues. They're talking about getting something from God. It's beyond tongues. Thank God for tongues. There's a baptism of fire that comes in direct proportion to your hunger and desperation. I talked to Rodney Howard Brown years ago. He's in a life group meeting, more or less. And he was so sick of regular church that he stood up and started crying out, "I want your power. I want your power." It went on, as I recall, and you can read it in some of his books, 45 minutes, an hour. He did not stop. His voice was blown, crying out. And then all of a sudden, something happened, and power came on him, and he became one of the leading generals in the army of the modern church, spreading revival all over the world, and he's still doing it today. You can say whatever you want. It's not like, you have to be specially selected from the womb. By the fact that you're a human being, you've been specially selected. Come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, "I'm selected." All over the scriptures you see healing. Go to Mark 16. What are you saying? "I'm prophesying to you a wave of miracles such that we have never seen before. And it's going to happen not so much because of me and my staff. It's going to happen because you come in direct contact with the living God and are awakened to your glorious purpose in the earth to go into all the world." Mark 6, look with me. Mark 16, pardon me, verse 15. "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name." In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Not they might recover, they will recover.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.